The Kingdom of God, Part 4, by Pastor Grace Jung, translated by David. We have been talking about God's kingdom these days. This is our fourth session. Let's read John 18:36-37. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servant would have been fighting, that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from of the world." The Pilate asked, said to him, "So are you a king?" Jesus answered, "You say I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the earth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Here in this passage, Jesus tells us that my kingdom is not of this world. So in this world, there are actually two kingdoms. One of them can be seen, is the kingdom of this world. The other one is the kingdom that we cannot see, which is the kingdom of God. Jesus further explains that my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servant would have been fighting, so that the nations in this world on earth that you had to fight for to have it, using guns, missiles, to win through battles. But what about the kingdom of God? It is through Jesus' death that the kingdom come. So for the God's kingdom to come is so very different. It's not about fighting to take control and to win over others. But the kingdom of God come when his son dies on the cross. When Jesus was still alive, God's kingdom did not come. Jesus warns that, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Matthew 3:2. So when God's word become flesh and Jesus came to this world, God's kingdom has not yet come. Let's take a look at Luke chapter 9:27-36. "But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God." Now, about 8 days after these sayings, he took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep. But when they became fully awake, they saw this glory in the two men who stood with him. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Not only what he said, as he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them. And they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent and told no one in those days anything about what they had seen. When Jesus tells them that there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God, this passage appears to foreshadow what's to come. We know God's kingdom will come soon on Pentecost. The passage of verses here is about the mountain trip seems to foreshadow the kingdom of God come to earth. Jesus revealed a bit of the kingdom's glory to three of his disciples, Peter, John, and James, prior to Pentecost. This is reflected in all three gospel books. In 2 Peter, he talks about, "We witness his majestic glory, so glorious." Prior to the experience, these disciples only know Jesus from the outside or his appearance. And as Jesus was praying, his appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. Now, in Mark 9:29, he describes that and his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. On Earth, no one can produce this kind of clothing material. The clothing is dazzling white that no one on Earth could bleach them white like that. It's Allah's world. And there appear to them Elijah, Moses, and they were talking to Jesus. So let's refer back to Luke 9. It says that who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which is about what he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Elijah and Moses talk about Jesus' departure. Departure is about his upcoming death. So this kingdom of God is so closely related to Jesus' death or departure. Jesus had to die first before the kingdom will come. So that if we want the kingdom of God to come in us, we must also depart and die towards our sinful low self. It's so very important. I am not telling you to kill yourself, no. But you must depart from your old self and let it be died and nailed to the cross. Very few Christians understand this. On the pulpit, most preachers preach about God's grace. This blessing and that blessing, that may all sound good. So maybe I'll just believe in Jesus with all those blessings. We talked about previously mustard seeds. The seeds must be buried deep into the ground. So his roots must go so deep in the ground that it will build a good foundation. Or else when the wind blows, it will just fall. If you are a Christian and you want the kingdom of God to come on you, his glory and power on you do not come just because someone laid their hands on you and you receive it. It is built up when no one is around you and in your own daily lives, how you will depart and die towards yourself. Many think that we should not talk about the suffering part. We should only talk about the blessings. But I believe in Jesus because I want not. Some will say, I want to believe in Jesus because I want to be happy. If you just want happiness, you can just get that from nightclubs and partying. If you want, what you really want is the eternal joy that is very real. You must be willing to die for it. In your natural self, if your natural self does not die, the kingdom of God cannot form in you. It is easy to go with your emotions. You can get angry whenever you want, get jealous, and get suspicious and distrustful anytime. A person like that cannot receive the kingdom of God, because God's kingdom is glorious, holy, and pure radiant. So that all of us who want the God's kingdom to come, we must be focused and pay attention. Peter is so used to speak foolishly. When he was a young believer. That is why he felt he had to say something stupid at a mountain. Let us set up 3 tents. And then what happened? A cloud came and overshadowed him. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." Peter and those other disciples have seen so many signs of wonders and miracles. Multiplication of bread. And also great catching of fish and all that. So they learn to fear and to revere Jesus. But as time goes by, when they got so used to hanging around Jesus, their level of fear decreased dramatically. So they lost their fear of him. Peter forgotten that Jesus is the Son of God. He even tried to instruct Jesus that you must do this and that. Acted as if he knows better than Jesus. Even though he has good intentions, but as we live in our own natural ways, we don't understand how to fear the Lord. When God's voice said to them, "Listen to my son," they got so scared. We can see the transformation of Peter when he gets older in his later years. In 2 Peter, 1 chapter 12 to 18, where it says that, "Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities. Though you know them and are established in the truth that you have, I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. and I will make every effort so after my departure you may be able to, at any time to recall these things. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we make known to you that the power of coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, that this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we are with him on the holy mountain. You can tell that Peter came to the realization that it was revealed to him at a time of such radiant and glory in Jesus, to honor and glory from heaven, but the realization is that our body and flesh is just a tent, like a tent. He realized that one day he will have to leave this tent on earth. And before he depart, he wanted to share and inspire us. Even though we already know, he wanted to give reminders and inspiration. He says that, I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able to at any time to recall these things. What our naked eyes can see and ears could hear are easily forgotten. Even if you see someone die and gets resurrected like that, would you remember for long that God is so amazing and great that you will revere, fear, and obey the Lord all of your lives? Would that happen? Not really. The Bible says that the man's heart is full of trickery and back to the extreme, paraphrasing here. We can forget things so easily. We can easily betray and easily forgotten about reverent fear towards God and easily get complacent. You can see easily in the Old Testament from Exodus and Numbers that the Israelite, it's just like that. They have witnessed such great miracles like the parting of the Red Sea. You probably thought to yourself, if I were to witness this kind of miracle, I will forever fear and revere the Lord and obey him. But it's possible that you will probably still forget and obey God and you will still rebel. As men, we're like that. So that's why Peter wants to continue to remind him. There is a unseen kingdom hidden in Jesus Christ. Through the blood he shed and died on the cross, in the wound he gave birth a group of God's people. And then through the comings of the Holy Spirit enable him to dwell in the kingdom with people. So the kingdom of God has greatly come unto his people, that he wants to rule with his people here on earth. If we were to value about God's kingdom, we must pay attention about dying towards our old self. I remember a sister shared with me that one time she had given in to her old self and acted inappropriately. Her husband reminded her that you must die. You must die towards yourself. Her husband's not the type of guy who would just give these spiritual talk, but he also walked the walk. For himself would often do the same, dying towards the old self in his daily walks. So when he said that to the sister, she would really listen and obey to die towards herself. When I heard this, I felt it is so precious. During our daily lives, we must consistently die towards ourselves. Then the kingdom of God will continue to form and build in us. Let's look at 2 Peter, first chapter 3 to 4. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to the life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partaker of divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that's in the world because of sinful desire. Partaker of his divine nature in its original context means to fellowship with him and to partake in his nature. But if you must first escape from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire, so you must take off the old so you can put on the new. It's like a cup that already has dirty water in it. Even if you continue to pour clean water in the cup, you will still be dirty. So you must pour out what's already dirty in it before pouring in the clean water. Then it will be clean. It's just like us. Inside of us is full of corruption that came from this world. So we must escape or depart from that which is dying towards your old self. It is not that our God is so cruel that always wants us to die. He just wants us to be freed of it. To get rid of the bondage from sinful desire and escape from the corruption and entanglement. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it cannot bear much fruit. John 12:24. God gave us many chances to die towards ourselves. In the last session, we talked about Jesus' parable about sowing the seeds. So let's review Luke chapter 8, 14 to 15. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasure of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. Now, these verses talked about some seeds, referring to the word of God, fell along the path, and some would fell among thorns, which refers to thoughts and worries in this life. The older you are, the more likely you have these worries about life. So that the older people like to nag and nag the young ones because they are filled with these troubling worries or thoughts. So the young people hated it. But when they get older, they become the same way. We will worry about the future. Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world." We must understand, do I often worry about things of this world? As people of the kingdom, are my thoughts about God's kingdom or about the world? In the Old Testament, it talks about Esau, Jacob's older brother. In our modern worldview, Esau is probably a very good man. He's physically strong, with good taste in life. He loves to hunt and bring back prey. And he's in good physical shape, full of energy, and he's probably gifted as an athlete. But he has no interest in things about eternity. He has no interest in spiritual things. So he gives no time nor any effort to care about spiritual matters. Even though Jacob is not as good and strong as Esau in the natural, but he truly cares about spiritual matters. He knows that spiritual things has to do with God's blessings. So he wants it. Esau is not as deceitful as Jacob, but he had no interest in spiritual matters. He spends his time hunting and indulging in tasty food and good things in life. See what will happen to the two of them. Esau eventually received double portion of inheritance of assets from their father, including his brother's share, because Jacob ran away. Esau received all of their father's inheritance, but when Jacob wanted to give Esau more things to reconcile the relationship, initially Esau refused in telling him that I have enough, but Jacob was still able to convince him to accept more from him. So you can tell Esau is more interested in material things that can be seen. That is how God treats people. If he sees this person has no interest in eternity reward, but only interested in worldly possessions or things, he will permit you to receive the world. This does not necessarily mean that God will take delight or favor in this person. So I am saying God's people must have the right mindset. So we would not be like the people of the world. Don't think to yourself that, hey, this person does not even love the Lord. why he or she is so prosperous in their career and businesses, and I do not make as much money, and my house is not nearly as big as theirs. We must renew and refresh our mind. What you desire is what God will give you. I remember in the early days, most Christians were part of a Presbyterian church in Taiwan. They really love and revere and fear the Lord. They love God's house and God's servant. They will share with me about their grandparents' history. They will offer the first egg that came out of their chicken to their pastors. The harvest of the first fruit they will offer to the church. They were so grateful that these missionaries shared the gospels with them. They honored their pastors. God will bless them abundantly. I realized that the descendants of these Presbyterians were all blessed with good careers, such as businessmen, physicians, and lawyers. Every one of them is blessed with wealth and gotten married. But as time goes by, and then to their second and third generations, they have gotten so wealthy materially, they will lose interest in spirituality. They will still come to the Sunday service, but they no longer have much interest in God, because they got choked by the cares and riches and pleasure of life. They got so distracted by their business and their careers and things. So as parents, we should pray for our children not to get too rich and forget about God. You want to have the best inheritance, which is God's presence in Himself. When you have God, you shall receive heavenly inheritance in eternity. What you desire, God may grant you. So you see, what Esau desires is just that. But Jacob wanted God in his heart. So we must be aware that what we want, God may just grant us. In Psalms, we see that they pray to God and what God will give them, but that makes them weak in the spirit. We don't agree just to pray for anything. Some will tell you that when you pray for your future spouse, you should ask for what you want exactly. That person must be certain height, certain look, certain education background. Perhaps you pray for nice things about that person. But if you forgot to ask about one thing, that one thing could be the most important in your marriage that is missing. Then what would you do? So it's best not to just ask what things you want on your own, but ask God to fulfill His purpose and will on you. I only want your will, God, because I know your will is good and full of joy. Now the verse talk about In their ways, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life. And their fruit does not mature. It may have some fruit, but does not get matured. So this is a reality of many believers at church today. They love the Lord. They serve a bit. They share the gospel, but their fruit does not mature. It says that as for that in the good soil, that they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart. We talked about it last time, that we need to be honest with God and honestly obey Him. We know that God is all-knowing, so I must be totally honest and obey Him. I would honestly trust and rely in Him. I don't want to be like, I know God and I believe Him, but I still live like someone who does not know Him. If we know that God shall be glorified in His temple, some people get filled by the Spirit and some get healed, and He is so real, then no one shall be late to meet Him. I do not know who comes too late to the church's services, but I'm just saying that if we truly know He is to be honored, feared, and loved, then no one shall be late as a Christian. But there are so many Christians are not honest with God. As if they know God is good, and yet we do not revere and respect Him. If you got invited by the President of the United States to meet Him at 10 in the White House, I believe you'll probably be there by 9. You probably will not just count on being there at 9:55. If we were to meet the President today, we will probably not be late even by 1 minute. But when it comes to God, we have no problem being late. This is so very common. A pastor shared with me that their church service starts at 10, but only 2 or 3 will show up on time. This is a church with 100 congregants. They complain 10 is too early and wanted to change it to 10:30. But those who are usually late, they still come late. The issue is not about the start time. The real issue is whether I fear the Lord and want to honor Him. We seriously need to honor and feel Him as our God. I will drop everything to be there. I will not care about cutting the clothes to within minutes and risking showing up late to the service. Now, this pastor offended many people by telling them that, please try not to be late. This is what Israelite is like. They like to complain and blame roses that we are thirsty and hungry, and it's all your fault that you brought us out here. And whenever God shows His glory, they will get scared and tell Moses that you go face the Lord for us every time. They will displease God. We must honor and fear Him. God is love. There's no doubt about it. But we need to honor and fear Him. In our home group Bible studies last week, we were reviewing book of 1 Timothy, where God's ultimate command on us is to love God and love people. Is this that the aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. So it means that we must have a pure heart and a good conscience. Some brothers and sisters started to share their testimony about whether or not their motive about love is pure and comfortable, you know, with their any ulterior motives. I was moved by their testimonies. That we have people who are truly going after the kingdom of God. They pay such attention. They have pure heart and good conscience inside. It has to do with being honest, which is so very important for God's word to grow in us. There is this famous pastor who was hurt at his former church and was forced to leave the congregation. This pastor then planted another church, and then it grew really big. But the wound inside of him, of his heart, were not healed. We must submit to God's light to receive healings inside. Although he was still able to minister, but every time he passes through the old church building, his heart would ache, because that is where he grew up when he met the Lord. After he was baptized by the Spirit, the church people did not want anything to do with it. They pressured him, so he started smoking. He used to smoke cigarettes and quit after he became a believer of God. But he would hide in the bathroom to smoke. Only his wife knew about it. One day, his young daughter, 4 or 7 years old, asked him during dinner, "Why do you smoke, Daddy?" He responded, "How could I smoke? I am a well-known pastor. How could I be smoking? Don't make things up to say." The daughter replied, "Then how come every time I went into the bathroom after you come out, I could smell smoke in there?" Now this pastor is about to come up with many more excuses. The Holy Spirit highlighted to him inside, "If you don't be honest this time, your daughter will never ever believe the Lord." So he stopped and he let go his self-defense mechanism. He turns to his daughter and said, "Daddy's heart is hurting inside. I am suffering. Would you please pray for me?" So the daughter came over and laid her little hand on the father and prayed for him. "Oh Jesus, please heal my daddy and deliver him of his suffering. Please make him not suffer anymore and not smoke anymore." He was filled in the Spirit instantly, and his wound inside got healed. Oftentimes, will suppress our heart way down into the bottom to hide and to disguise our wound. In this case, he even told his wife not to tell anyone. But God loves you. He wants to reveal your own wound. I call this spiritual wound or pustule. If you are infected inside, you must cut it out and release the infection or pus. God wants to heal and process what really hurts. You will get ugly, stinky, if you try to hide your wound in the dark and utilizing ministry to conceal it, just to get others' affirmation to replace the pain. The people who are closest to you could see your real side and tell you. We need to address it honestly. Don't just get your defense out by saying, I have already forgiven. Or else, why would God bless me with my ministry? God loves us so much that he will want you to face the reality of your current state. We must thank the Lord to face it. It is because people love you, so they would tell you the truth. Other people who do not care about you would not tell you. So this pastor was released and received healings and be set free from the pain and smoking. All because he was willing to obey the Lord and humble down before his little child and admitted his weaknesses. Many others are not like that. They will pray, Oh Lord, give me a broken and contrite heart. And when someone tells them, I feel recently that you have been pretty loose with your words and hurt others, they will respond, No way, that is not true. Or they would pray, Lord, I am such a sinner, and I did bad things. And when the others tells him, Yeah, I really think you are bad, then he will defend and say, Who said that? I'm not that way. So our prayers are not always honest. We need to have goodness and do not get doubtful about others' intentions. Goodness is how we should respond, not judging by the appearance. Some will respond by saying, God's word is speaking to me directly, and that's exactly what I needed. That is about goodness. Or you could respond by thinking, Why is this pastor talking about me the whole time? Who told on me? I will not come again. So goodness is like good soil. So God's seeds may be planted and grow on you. How could we lose our good and pure heart? Oftentimes it's because of the internal injury that we fail to deal with it to get healed. We often use bitterness to deal with those wounds, and oftentimes the hurt comes from people that you respect in authority positions, like a pastor. You listen to the world with tinted perspective. It is so not worth it. Don't take that person's imperfection to stab yourself with it. It will cost you your good soil. I was told when you plant a seed, it's important to use the right kind of good soil in order to produce tasty and sweet fruit. If you want God's word to grow in you and be fruitful, then you need to make sure that you have good soil inside. Brothers and sisters, please do not idolize any persons, including pastors. I respect and revere my pastor Pearl Young and Elder Wu, but I do not idolize them. In the kingdom of God, we must gaze upon the one true King. Even God's servant could not take away our focus on Jesus. Whenever your focus is not on God, your suffering will increase. The sorrows of those who run after another God shall multiply. Psalm 16:4. There is a sister. She used to seek love from people, but only God's love could satisfy her. I did morning devotion with her, and I shared this verse with her, and I told her, I felt that God has highlighted this for you as the root of your problem. Initially, she did not want to agree. Then we prayed together and read the Bible. She was just turning the pages, not sure where to start. Then she flipped to this page with this same verse, and this word went straight to her heart. She was awakened and completely recovered from this trauma and was healed. The enemy wants you to get distracted, whether it is a person you know, your pastor, or your ministry, or who you minister to. The enemy will use emotional things to get you focused on your boyfriend or girlfriend instead of the Lord and increase your sorrow. I read in the news a young lady who was about to graduate from a famous university in Taiwan. Before she killed herself, she left a suicide note to her boyfriend. Look, your boyfriend or girlfriend cannot fulfill all your emotional needs. Your husband and wife can't either, not even your children. You can't idolize or rely on another God to substitute the one true God. Another God could mean your love affairs, your desire for happiness, and your emotions that you are focusing on, including your children. When you're keeping your eyes on your baby while they are asleep or awake, all you see is your child. This will ensure your sorrow will intensify. After Peter and the others came down the holy mountain, all they see is Jesus and no one else. When we only see Jesus and no one else, the kingdom of God will come on us. In Psalm 16:5, it says, "You hold my lot." That means you need to reject anything that will cause you to lose your good soil to hold it fast in an honest and good heart. You need to know that what would take away your honest and good heart. Things could make you want to lie, something that would take away my honest good heart. So you must hold fast. Luke 9:15 says that, "Bear fruit with patience." For example, even if I'm not feeling well emotionally in the morning, but I will hold fast and still do my morning devotion and pray to God. I still wanted to draw near to the Lord and read the Word. Even if I have great pressure from work, so many projects that need to turn into my boss, many things are not yet finished, but I still want to draw near to the Lord. Read His Word even if you don't feel like it. If you still need to learn to be persist and press in to complete your spiritual homework, having spiritual discipline. This is bear fruit with patience means. Having patience means you must wait for the seed to grow even though you can see it buried deep into the ground. God is doing good work for you. Oftentimes you can see it. You must have patience for the work that He does on you. And also be patient for the work He's doing on others. You can't hurry these things. You will see that this person is on fire praying and all. Then you'll question, why will He still send this way? Of course, we are not perfect. We're all work in progress. You see these signs on construction sites in Taiwan? That says under construction. Any inconveniences that this may cause you, please forgive us. God is doing His construction in us. We are all under construction. You can't see the beautiful building yet. Under construction, what you see is just dirt and mess and holes everywhere. So we must bear patience so God can build this magnificent spiritual palace in us. So that is what it means to fall in good soil. Lastly, let's look at Matthew 12:23. "As for what has sown on good soil, this is the one who bears the word and understand it. He indeed bears fruit and yields. In one case, 100-fold, in another 60, in another 30. Think about this. How could you bear fruit that will yield 100-fold? You must have a large piece of lot. This refers to our lot must be large enough so we can bear fruit in 100-fold. It is saying that you must broaden your mind and your heart, as we just shared, that we must hold fast in honest and good heart, and also bear fruit in patience, which means not to be discouraged, dismayed, or depressed. Don't be impatient of asking for result quickly. Believe in the Lord. He has been continue working on you. Every minute that you trust in the Lord, as we discussed last week, we practice in our daily lives. When you're feeling down, you praise the Lord and say it to the Lord, I trust you. Don't let darkness overcome you. I must emphasize that we must broaden our heart and not easily get offended. Don't just catching someone's mistake and hold it hostage in your heart and hurt yourself. Then you deserve to be hurt. You already know that no one is perfect. Why would you hold his or her imperfection to hurt yourself? I have heard people say that, oh, because someone I failed, and he or she failed me. I think in that case, you deserve to fail. Why would you let that hurt you? I've been a believer for 27 plus years. I have never fallen because someone else failed me. Let me tell you a secret. When I was just a new believer, 1 or 2 years, I asked myself, if one day Elder Wu is no longer a believer, would I still believe in God? At that time, Elder Wu was my pastor. So I think back on how real the Lord is to me, how he loved me. And I declare and pray to the Lord that even if Elder Wu no longer believe you, I will still believe in you. Now that prayer keeps me close to him until today. We are all human and we fail. Our trust and belief are not based on someone, any person alone. Think about this. Even Peter, an apostle, could deny Jesus, and who would not fail? For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and with virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours, are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was clean from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, they will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter, verse chapter 5-11. These verses here tells us that some people will enter the eternal kingdom richly, and some will barely squeeze into the kingdom. Through the fire is actually quite risky because you will not know if you could come out of it successfully. You may get burned into ashes. The word here tells us that if you want to enter the kingdom of God, you really must go after it. It says here that be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and practice these qualities such as faithfulness, self-control, with steadfastness, godliness, knowledge, patience, and brotherly affection with love. Without these, you are nearsighted and blind. That means you don't just focus on this world on earth and following the trends of this world. People like that do not know that you need to give the Lord all your life, your time, your might, and affections to go after the eternal kingdom. Referring to earlier, when Jesus revealed a bit of his glory to the disciples, how radiant and dazzling white he is. If you want to enter the kingdom of God, then you would not slack off, even if your pastor is not around. Don't say that I have no ministry duties right now, so I do not know what to do. You are not made just for ministry. You are alive to receive the kingdom of God. Whether or not I'm ministering, I need to allow God's kingdom to come, continue built in me. The sister shared with me yesterday while she was breastfeeding her baby, she ran out of milk. People around her told her that she should eat this and that to produce more milk. She tried them all, still producing no milk. She then decided to attend prayer meetings, asking other brothers and sisters to pray for her. The next day, milk came, so much of it came. Why would I try man's way first, and only when it wouldn't work that I would rely on the Lord? Perhaps the Lord wants to use my baby to get me to learn about faithfulness in Him. He tells us that we must be more diligent with no doubt and to fill with trust. We must practice being steadfast and learn to trust and rely in Him, and learn to love one another, practice patience and godliness. These qualities will help you grow your roots deeper into the ground. If we have so much activities, minister this and that, to evangelize, it's all good. But if we do not pay attention to go deep in these qualities diligently, our foundation will be shallow, and one day we will fall. For sure, you will burn out and never want to serve again. These are the many experiences of Christians. Every one of the believers are already ministering and serving in our daily lives, helping others to evangelizing. A few words of encouragement can comfort and will certainly build others up. At any time, we should be prepared with milk and honey to provide to the needy. No one shall say, "I have no ministry." The natural expression of life will get you to serve others. Naturally, you will bring the kingdom to your office, and you will shine. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, they will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom. Verse 19 tells us that we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to the lamp shining in the dark place, until day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Peter is telling them, the time Son of God received His honor and glory, a voice came from heaven. "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased," which He witnessed it. He is telling them that the prophetic word fully confirmed that a lamp shining in a dark place until day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Peter is telling them that you must pay attention while the prophets continue sharing that word. You must pay attention to God's presence so that God's presence can shine brighter and brighter and to be revealed in us. He said that this is good for the kingdom to reveal in us. I do not know how many of us here really spend time to draw near to the God and seek God, but I encourage everyone to spend at least 10 minutes daily to draw close and wait upon the Lord. In addition to our morning devotion, spend 10 minutes to seek and draw near to Him. So may His morning star shine brightly in you. At the beginning, you may not see it, but because He is taking away the thorns and the rocks and the sharp edges inside of you, He is working on you, even if you don't know it. In Matthew 16, that tells us that you must seek my kingdom in righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So you need to not go after the things in this world. And He shall provide you with what you wear, what you eat, what you drink, if first seek His kingdom in righteousness. So let's sing, "What my heart pursue is God Himself." God bless.